Crime does not pay.
Well, did you talk to her?
I talked my head off, darling. She won't listen, Mavis. She won't even listen.
Then make her listen, Howard.
You don't know my wife.
I don't want to know her.
Mavis, darling, are we quarreling?
Seems like it. Oh, Howard, don't you see? I can't. I won't live in the back streets of your life.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Death on the Upgrade, starring Donald Woods. Crime Does Not Pay, starring Donald Woods as Howard Baker in Death on the Upgrade. To all appearances, Howard and Dorothy Baker were an ideal couple. Married nearly 10 years, they were known in the community in which they lived as two solid, respectable citizens and leaders of the younger set. Howard's income was up in five figures. They owned a house, supported the correct community activities, and except for the absence of children, were perfectly happy. So it seemed on the surface. But there were hidden currents in the lives of these two, and one flowed directly from Mavis Hysham.
Oh, Mavis, darling, the one place in the world I can unwind inside is your place.
If I were 5 years older, that would not be a compliment. Huh. In fact, I'm not sure it's a compliment now.
I mean it that way, sweet.
I know. But don't you think I ought to excite you, wind you up inside, instead of letting you run down?
That's what makes this so wonderful, darling. Everything seems so right for us. No need to be tense, worried.
Not even the fact that we run our life together by the clock?
By the clock? I don't get it.
Don't you? Care for a diagram?
I care for anything you want.
Well, then look at us, Howard. You can't come to me before a certain time because if you left the office, people would begin to talk. You can't stay past a certain time because if you miss your train home, other people would begin to talk. And don't think, sweetheart, that I haven't seen you snatch a quick look at your watch sometimes when your arms are around me.
Like this?
No. No, Howard, please. I want to talk.
What do we need words for?
In the beginning, we didn't, but now we need them to straighten out this mess.
I don't see any mess.
No, I don't suppose you would. Maybe you'd better begin to see it.
Another diagram?
Yes, another diagram. No, I can't talk when you're so... No, sit over there, darling. I'm serious.
Okay, I'm sitting.
Howard, am I a kind of stinker because I want you with me all the time?
Darling, I thought we loved each other.
We do, of course we do.
That love demands sacrifice.
But only, apparently, from me.
I give you every moment I can.
But I'm selfish, Howard, like every woman who loves a man. And I don't want to share you.
Meaning Dorothy?
Meaning Dorothy.
You know she won't divorce me.
When did you ask her last?
Recently.
You want to have your cake and eat it too, don't you?
Of course not. I love you, darling. I want to be with you, but... But a divorce would ruin everything I've built up in all these years. We can't sacrifice that.
I think we can. And I don't think leaving Dorothy would be as drastic as you say. Darling, speak to her again. Will you, darling? For me?
When you look like that and sound like that, can I say no to anything you ask me?
I've never heard you say it, darling. Now come over here, and no more talk.
No more talk.
We're home.
Yes, aren't we?
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Everything.
Well, that's definite.
I was just remembering. We used to have a ritual. I'd go to the garage with you. I'd get out, open the door, and you'd drive in and I'd close the doors. We used to go into the house together after a kiss. There was a time we couldn't bear to be separated as long as it took you to put the car away.
We're 9 years older now.
Yes, we are. I'll go inside, Howard. Come up after you've put the car away.
Dorothy?
Yes?
Will you divorce me, Dorothy?
Isn't the usual place for this scene the living room after dinner? Or is it customary to spring these surprises on a dark street at 1 a.m?
Does the place matter very much?
Not very. It's just colder this way.
You haven't answered me.
Why do you want a divorce, Howard?
Well, we're not happy together anymore.
We were until a year ago. That's when you stopped the ritual in the garage. Not 8 or 9 years ago. Last year.
That's done with.
You know what a divorce will do to you, Howard, don't you?
I'm not worried about business. I'm young enough to start over.
No, you're not.
I'm only...
The kind of alimony I'd want and the kind I'd get wouldn't permit you to start over, Howard.
You wouldn't do that.
Oh, wouldn't I? When I know you're just making a fool of yourself over another woman, when I know how miserable you'll be after a year or so, I'm afraid you're just too used to me, Howard. I think you need protection from yourself and the normal urges of a man your age.
My age has nothing to do with it.
Is she beautiful, Howard? Is she much younger than I am, say 23 or so?
No.
Does she wear a strapless evening gown better than I do?
Dorothy.
Does she make you feel flattered, Howard, because she lets you kiss her?
Stop it, Dorothy. I asked a simple question. I'd like a simple answer.
The answer is no. Oh, I'd hoped you weren't going to ask me. If you hadn't, I'd have forgiven, even if I couldn't forget. But you've asked. I say no.
Why no? You think so little of me now. Why do you want to stay tied to me?
Why? Because I'm still in love with the man I married, who isn't you. I'm betting that man will come back to me, and I won't abdicate to any woman. Not any woman. Not ever. Did you talk to her?
I talked my head off, darling. She won't listen, Mavis. She won't even listen.
Then make her listen, Howard.
You don't know my wife.
I don't want to know her.
Mavis, darling, are we quarreling?
Seems like it. Oh, Howard, don't you see? I can't. I won't live in the back streets of your life.
And I don't want you to, my darling. There must be a way. There's got to be a way.
Yes?
I'd like to bring back the man you married. I'd like to find him again.
That's not going to be easy, you know.
I know.
Where would you look first?
Well, in the past at first.
Where in the past?
I was thinking, we used to go on picnics, remember?
I remember.
There was that place on the other side of Pierce Mountain. We loved it there. Do you think we could find me there?
I wouldn't know.
Will you come with me Sunday and look?
Yes, Howard. I'd like to.
Good. We'll take the old lunch basket. I'll make the sandwiches myself, like I did before we were married. Big, thick sandwiches, the kind you never get in stores. Thank you for saying you'll come along, Dorothy. Peaceful out here, Dorothy, isn't it? Maybe that's why. Oh, hear that cowbell, dear? You hear it?
Oh!
Dorothy, what's wrong?
My stomach, it hurts.
Badly? How badly?
I can't breathe. It burns, Howard. A doctor. Oh, help me, Howard.
It's just indigestion, dear. It'll pass.
No. No, it won't. Oh, doctor, Howard. Get me to a doctor. Hurry. If I ever meant anything to you, hurry.
Any better, dear?
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting used to it.
We'll be in town soon, just the other side of the hill.
I don't understand.
Now, don't talk, dear. Just save your strength.
No. No, I can't. I've got to talk.
For heaven's sake, why?
Because I'm dying.
Don't be foolish.
I'm not being foolish. Not anymore. I was when I trusted you.
Stop it, Dorothy. You'll know better tomorrow.
Will I when I'm dead? Oh, Howard, you didn't take me straight to a doctor. You didn't.
Did you want me to leave all the dishes and the picnic stuff just because you have a stomachache?
Not that alone. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. I don't know what poison you used or where you got it.
Hang on, Dorothy. The top of the grade is up there. See? Where the road curves left. Then it turns down.
It won't turn for me. I'm done. I'm finished. I know it. And you killed me. I'll never know with what. That bothers me. What kind of poison is like this? What kind? Oh.
Dorothy? Dorothy? Done. Timed it right. Now shift into second. Top of the grade. The fence. Wheel a hole straight. Go right through and over. First, jump myself. Now. Goodbye, Dorothy. Before someone sees it, I've got to be found as if I were thrown clear of the wreck. Wait for me, Dorothy. Here I come.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Death on the Upgrade. We continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Donald Woods as Howard Baker in Death on the Upgrade. Howard Baker's plan seemed foolproof. His car, with Dorothy's body inside, burned at the foot of the hill far beneath the broken fence through which it had plunged. He himself lay some 15 feet from the wreck, scratched and bruised, apparently unconscious, where he had permitted himself to roll to a stop. As he lay there, he heard a car on the road slow briefly, then race on its way. Howard knew then that help would soon be there. He was right. Before very long, a green and white car of the state police was climbing the hill on the road above him.
Figure this is another wild goose chase, Sergeant?
Now, you never know, Wilson. Fellow reported this, said the fence was smashed at the top of the curve. See anything?
No, nothing yet. Hey. Yeah, I do. Look. Looks like something flickering down below, too.
Pull up on the shoulder, Wilson.
Check, Sarge.
Cut the engine and leave it in first. It's a bad grade.
You're not kidding. Hey, look at that fence.
How can I miss it? Hey, you get on the radio. Tell the dispatcher we need an ambulance. I'll take a look down below.
Check, Sarge.
Brother, what a mess.
Oh.
Who's that? Where are you?
What happened? Where am I?
Oh, just take it easy, mister. Be there in a minute.
Where's the car? Where's Dorothy? What happened?
Now, take it easy, mister. It's like your car went through the guardrail on the road up there.
I don't remember. Dorothy screamed. I guess I couldn't take the curve.
Can you move your legs, sir?
I think so. Yes.
And your arms?
Yes. No broken bones. My wife. Where's my wife?
I haven't found her yet, sir.
What? The car. It's burning. Dorothy!
Easy, mister. We'll find her. You're suffering from shock, mostly. The ambulance is on the way.
Dorothy.
Now, lie back, mister. Nothing you can do. Everything will be taken care of in a couple of minutes.
Yes?
Sergeant Kincaid, sir. May I see you a moment, Captain?
Come in, Kincaid. What's the trouble?
Well, the Baker crack-up, sir. The one on Pierce Mountain late this afternoon.
That seems simple and tragic enough. What's on your mind?
I don't know, sir. One or two little things.
That's your report?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't finished it yet, sir.
Meaning that what's bothering you isn't here. All right, Kincaid, what is it?
Well, the car was going up grade. It's pretty steep there, sir.
Go on.
And when I checked the wreck, sir, the gear shift lever was in second position.
Could have fallen in the second when the car turned over.
Yeah, it could have. Baker himself, just shock. Not a mark on his head. But he was just coming to when I got to the wreck.
Probably fainted.
Yes, sir. Only, if I may, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, sir, it's just a theory, but a car going up that hill in second could make the turn easy. Seems kind of funny, too. He gets tossed clear from behind the wheel, and she's caught in the car. I don't like the way the whole thing feels, sir. And another thing, the intern on the ambulance, he seemed to think it was funny, too.
Oh?
She was dead, all right, but, well, there wasn't any blood very much. I think there'd be blood in a case like this. There isn't much, sir, but I thought I'd better speak up.
Well, there have been accidents that looked funny before this, Kincaid, and they were just accidents.
I know, sir, and, well, I'm not accusing anybody, but men have killed their wives before and made them look like accidents.
Sergeant, I think you know Dr. Wolf.
Yes, sir. How are you, Doctor?
Fair, thank you. Captain?
I wanted you to hear this directly from the doctor, Sergeant.
The Baker case?
Yes, exactly. Let's have it, Doctor.
Well, gentlemen, I must admit I was rather surprised at your request for an autopsy. In a clear situation like this one, it's hardly the usual thing.
Yes, sir, I know. I hope you...
Did it anyway? Yes. Of course, I had to have the husband's permission.
How did you go about getting it, Doctor?
My secretary called, said the medical examiner wouldn't release the body without an autopsy, and requested permission. We got permission.
Was he reluctant?
No, not at all. At least he didn't seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
I listened on my extension.
I see. Go on, Doctor.
Well, we performed the usual tests in cases like this.
Did you find anything?
Well, it wasn't what we found, exactly. It was what we didn't find.
I don't get it, sir.
It's simple enough. When death occurs in the presence of fire, there's almost always evidence in the lungs of the inhalation of smoke. There wasn't a trace in this case.
Well, that doesn't sound possible.
It is possible, under one circumstance. If the person was dead before the fire started...
Holy smoke.
Well, if his party were dead before the car started burning, the cause of death should be found. We went looking. We found it. Arsenic in the stomach. Plenty.
Could it have been taken by accident?
Well, anyone who took that much arsenic by accident would have to be crazy. Now, the rest is up to you, gentlemen, I believe.
Not bad, this place.
Miss Mavis Hysham. An interesting name.
No record, sir.
That's too bad.
Yes?
Miss Hysham,
Yes.
I'm Captain Tabor, State Police. This is Sergeant Kincaid. Our credentials. May we come in?
Yes, of course. This way, gentlemen. Howard, dear. Two men from the State Police.
State Police? Oh, of course. Sergeant Kincaid. This is my rescuer, Mavis.
Oh?
The man who found me on the hill that night.
Oh, then it's something about the accident.
Yes, ma'am. And Mr. Baker, this is Captain Tabor.
How do you do?
Hello.
Won't you sit down, gentlemen? May I offer you a drink?
No, thank you. I'm sorry, but this is a business call. You see, we tried your house, Mr. Baker. The maid told us that you'd left Mavis Hysham's telephone number.
I see. More on the details, Captain? I must say you fellows file complete reports.
Yes, we do. Sergeant, would you explain, please?
Yes, sir. You see, Mr. Baker, it's like this. In what was left of your car, we found the remains of a picnic lunch.
But I thought I told you at your headquarters that night. My poor wife and I had been picnicking. We were on our way home when I lost control of the car and, well, you know the rest.
Yes, we do. Go on, Sergeant.
We're interested in that lunch, Mr. Baker, but, on the way here just now, we checked with the elevator boy. Just routine. He says he knows you quite well, that you've been coming to see Miss Hysham for about a year.
That's my business. And frankly, none of yours.
Except that your visits here might be construed as a, shall we say, motive, Mr. Baker?
I don't think I like your implications, Captain.
No more than we like the remains of those sandwiches.
Stop beating around the bush, Sergeant. If you have any accusations, make them. I'll deny them, and then you can see my lawyer.
Who made those sandwiches, Mr. Baker?
Some delicatessen or other. I don't remember.
They looked homemade to us, Mr. Baker.
I've yet to find a delicatessen that flavored its sandwiches with arsenic, Mr. Baker. Arsenic in the form of a paste flavored with mustard.
Who made those sandwiches, Mr. Baker?
How should I know? I told you I bought them. What's more, I think this is all nonsense. You're trying to get some headlines for yourselves. You're trying to turn a simple accident into...
Murder, Mr. Baker?
What? Why, it's ridiculous. The whole thing's a frame-up.
Who made those sandwiches? Who put the dressing on them?
You can't prove a thing.
We have the autopsy report, and it's rather complete. Now, will you talk to us here, or do we take you both with us?
Me? What have I got to do with this?
We'd like to find that out, too.
Maybe you fixed those sandwiches.
Howard's wife was killed in the accident.
She was dead before the accident.
What?
We have proof of that. It was arsenic, and in those sandwiches... Now, get your hats, both of you. We've wasted enough time.
I had nothing to do with it, I tell you. You've got nothing on me.
All right, Captain. I'll talk.
Take this down, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
I've been seeing Miss Hysham for over a year.
That's true.
I stopped by the night before the accident to tell her I was going back to my wife.
What?
I had the sandwiches with me. I put them in the refrigerator here. I remember now. Mavis knew about the picnic. She knew about the sandwiches. She left me alone out here on some excuse or other.
You dirty rotten. He's framing me. He wasn't near me that night. I can prove it, too. The elevator boy. I had a date. I can prove where I was.
He's fighting for her life, Captain. Sergeant, I had no reason to kill my wife. But she did.
He's lying, I tell you. I told him to choose between us. He wouldn't divorce him, and he was looking for a way. You killed her, Howard.
Throw me over, will you?
Shut up, you. We've got you cold, and you know it. Now, you're both coming along. If your alibi stands up, you'll be in the clear, Miss Hysham.
I demand to see my lawyer. I demand...
The captain said shut up.
I won't shut up. I'll shout from the rooftop, and I'll never stand quiet.
The window, Captain.
You killed him.
No, miss. I'm too good a shot for that. And I hate to waste clean bullets on... Well, never mind. He'll stand trial. And with what we've got on him, he'll pay the usual penalty. Call the ambulance, Sergeant. Tell them we've got a nasty specimen for their cleaning department in the prison ward.
Crime does not pay. Donald Woods, who was starred as Howard Baker in Death on the Upgrade, will be back with you in just a moment. Now here in person is Donald Woods.
There can be no sympathy for Howard Baker.
None at all. Except possibly the negative kind, which combines pity and contempt for a man who permitted his passions to so cloud his mind that he forgot the difference between right and wrong. But there is a warning in Howard Baker's story, the inevitable warning that you can't get away with. That there are always men with keen eyes and trained minds who pick up the tiny discrepancies which lead to evidence and to punishment. Plans of a murderer rarely encompass every tiny detail. Plans of every kind of criminal always go awry sometime. There is only one incontrovertible truth. No matter what or where or how crime occurs, in the end, crime does not pay.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Marks B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental. This is Bob Williams speaking.